Today, we have a couple of readings from 2 Samuel. First one is chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and then following right after that will be chapter 6, 1 through 5. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron. And he said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. You shall be the ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed King David over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Now we move to chapter 6. David again gathered all of the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went up from Baalil, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which was called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals." Here ends the first readings. Congregation, please rise. Taken out of the story of Palm Sunday, and so you might recognize the verses coming from there. The Gospel from Mark. "Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who were following were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. The congregation may be seated. And for the kids who are looking for the children's time, it will be coming in just a little bit. So get ready, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So today I want to get us set into the kind of the frame of mind of what's happening here in this story and what has brought us to the story. So I'm going to quickly do a rewind, and we're going to go all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham and Sarah were living in the land of Haran. God comes to Abraham and says, "Abraham, I want to make you a great nation. I want you to move to a new land, and you will become this great nation and have many descendants." And in confirmation, we, you know, have this as Haran over there, and the people move. They move from Haran, and they come over to the land of Canaan, which was over here. And when Abraham and Sarah get to the land of Canaan, God promises him three things: that all the land that he sees will be his or his descendants in time; that his descendants will be so numerous they'll be like the stars in the sky or the sands of the beach, uncountable, and that through him all the world will be blessed. Okay, so three things. Remember those three promises. Abraham and Sarah don't have any kids at this point. Fast forward a few years, they have a son named Isaac. Isaac grows up, gets married, has two sons, Jacob and Esau. We follow Jacob. Jacob grows up, gets married, ends up with four wives, 12 sons, and one daughter. It's a little bit of a complicated family, and we're not going to talk about that today. And one of those sons, there's a play written about called Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And Joseph ends up going to Egypt. And his presence in Egypt allows his family, when there's a famine in the land of Canaan here, to go to Egypt and to be saved. Eventually, those people become slaves. For 430 years, they are slaves to the Egyptians. God raises up a deliverer named Moses. Moses through the help of God and the plagues, allows the people to be let go. They cross over the Red Sea. They get to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up on the mountain and is given two things. He's given the Ten Commandments and the plans to the tabernacle. And in the plans to the tabernacle, I believe, are plans for a thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And we'll have a picture of that. So the Ark of the Covenant is 52 inches long, the long way, and then 31 inches the other ways. So not huge. And in it contained the Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff, and a vessel that had the manna in it that God had fed them through the wilderness. So they placed all those things in the Ark of the Covenant. The interesting thing about the Ark of the Covenant was that that was God's presence among them. It was a symbol, or God's presence resided near that. So wherever they went in the wilderness, in the day there was a pillar of smoke, and in the night there was a pillar of fire. And this Ark of the Covenant traveled in the tabernacle with them to remind the Hebrews that their God was with them. Okay? Then they finally go into the Promised Land. The Ark leads them into the Promised Land. They carry that forward. They then capture the land of, conquer the land of Canaan. They settle there. Things are going pretty well. And then we enter into the season of the judges. Things are going well, and then the people fall away from God because everything's easy and nice. And then God sends bullies that pick on them, and the people get sick of that, so they cry out to God, "Save us." God sends a hero named a judge, not a wearing a black robe, but just a judge. And this cycle continues to spin. And if you remember last week, the beginning verse, I believe, in our text said, in the time of the judges, there was a family. So Naomi and Elimelech were from the time of the judges. Now, Naomi went to Moab and ended up coming back. Ruth came back with her. Ruth, remember, had a son. Ruth's son's name was Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had, I believe it was, seven sons, and one of those sons, the youngest of those sons, was David. Now there was a prophet that came to Jesse, one day, and his name was Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets, and Samuel anoints David to be the second king of Israel, when he's just a young shepherd boy. Now we fast forward a few more years. Saul is king. Things aren't going terribly well. David is fighting in Saul's army. David is accomplishing great things, so the people have seen his leadership abilities. And we get to our text for today, and the people come to David, and he's king over the northern kingdom, I believe. And they come to him and say, "David, it's your time. It is your time to unite this country, to be king over us. It is you who God has anointed. It is you who will lead us. Take your reign." And David comes in, and one of the first things he does is what we saw in chapter 6. They go to Abinadab's house where, or place where, the Ark of the Covenant was being kept. David brings it into Jerusalem, and as they are entering into Jerusalem, they are having an amazing celebration, right? They are dancing, and they're singing, and they're playing instruments, and they are celebrating. And part of the reason that they're celebrating, I believe, is twofold. The first is that they have David, who is a national hero, coming in. His presence makes them excited and happy. It's a joyous time. But the other thing that we need to remember is that the Ark of the Covenant symbolized and was understood that that was God's presence among them. So God's presence is coming into Jerusalem. Everything is great. We have now gotten our promise that God had promised Abraham hundreds of years before. The land is ours. We have a king. It's great. There's a kingdom. It is wonderful. We are there. Let's have a party. Let's have a celebration. Now, David wrote Psalms. I don't know if he wrote this particular psalm, but we want to take a look at Psalm 150 to set you up for this next thing. So think about the excitement that they have. Kind of try to channel that excitement into you right now, okay? Some of you aren't looking so excited. Okay, so kind of we're going to channel excitement. So we're all going to say this psalm together. So, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing steadiness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, forgot the last praise the Lord. All right, I want the kids to come forward now, and I'm going to give you some instruments to praise God with, okay? All right, so we've got bells. You like a bell? You can take a bell, and we've got these really cool things. They make different sounds. Kind of cool. So you got that, you've got one special guitar. Do you want to play the guitar? Okay, and then we've got shakers. You want a shaker? You want a stick? You want a bell? So just grab something. You want one of these? No? Okay. So pick a thing to play. You want a bell? Take a bell. Take something. Okay, now, we're going to do a song, and I want everybody in the congregation to join with. Here you go, guys. And it's called Marching in the Light of God. And so if any of you people in the congregation would like to march, you can march with us and sing and dance around. And if you can't do that, try to clap. And if you can't do that, just try to smile. Okay, here we go. Jennifer's going to start us.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. Marching, we are marching, oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching.
guys were awesome. That was great. Thank you all for coming up and dancing and playing. I didn't think about them not wanting to give them up. So that was good. We got a little bit of excitement going on. We didn't quite, though, get as excited as David did. You see, David, when he came in dancing and singing, he lost all his clothes. And so I'm glad that that didn't happen. He was so excited that he lost all of his clothes, and his wife was not happy with him. So that celebration of King David coming into Jerusalem, the presence of God coming in to Jerusalem, was exciting. And if we fast forward 1,000 years, roughly, we have another celebration, and that was the celebration that we were hearing about in the gospel lesson. This guy named Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. He was coming in on a donkey, and there was a celebration there. People were cutting the palm branches. They were laying their robes down. They were singing, "Hosanna to God! Hosanna in the highest!" And Hosanna, remember, means God save us, or save us. They were singing and dancing and praising God because they were excited about this guy called Jesus. Because some were thinking, this guy might be the Messiah. You see, that excitement of that kingdom coming together with David didn't last very long. David's son Solomon, things started going a little bit wrong there, and it wasn't long before the kingdom split in two, and there were bad kings that drew the people away from God, and they worshiped idols instead. God kept sending prophets saying, "Please return to me," but the people kept ignoring God, and eventually foreign countries, the Assyrians came and captured the northern part of Israel. And then about 70 years later, the Babylonians came and captured the southern part and destroyed the temple. And once again, the people were in the wilderness. Just like Abraham and Sarah were in the wilderness waiting for a child, just like the people of Israel after the Red Sea were in the wilderness for 40 years, just like they would go in and out of the wilderness in the times of the judges, the people were again in a dark time. And the prophets had talked about a Messiah that would be coming, someone who would come from the line of David, that would be like David, that his kingdom would last forever, that there would be no end to the reign of this kingdom. And the people were excited because they thought it was Jesus. You see, he'd been feeding people like God fed them in the wilderness with the manna. Fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He was healing the blind and letting them see, letting the deaf hear, the lame walk. He was forgiving. He was welcoming. They were excited that this might be the one that would help them out of the wilderness that they were in now, because the Romans were controlling them. They were excited and they were celebrating. Except in just a few short days, Jesus ends up on the cross because he didn't fit their idea of what that Messiah would be, of that God that they were hoping to find. See, Jesus didn't come to give them an earthly kingdom, an earthly rule, but he came to forgive. He came to be with them, not to rescue them from an earthly wilderness. And as I think about Jesus as he came, he was the final fulfillment of that promise that God had given to Abraham. See, God had promised Abraham land, children, and that he would be, that all the world would be blessed through him. In King David, they had the land. And through the generations and the years, they became a numerous people. But yet we were still waiting for that blessing that would come, and that blessing was Christ. God was good on his promises. See, he walked with the Israelites in all of their wildernesses, all of their times of being in the wilderness. God's presence was there with them. And as we think about the promises that Jesus gave, promises that he gave to us, one would be from John chapter 14. Jesus says to his disciples on the night of the Last Supper, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be there also." At the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus is commissioning his disciples, and he says to them, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And again from John, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus came so that we might have life, and we might have it abundantly. God has promised to be with us, to walk with us in each of our times of wilderness, to be with us in each of those places where we're struggling, where there's trials, where God's not moving those mountains like we'd hoped he would. But the reality is that God has promised to be with us, that his presence is with us. We see that presence and reminded of that presence in the waters of baptism. In baptism, we are given the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in us, to live through us. And so today, as you come up for communion, if you want, come by the font, dip your finger in the water, make the sign of the cross on your forehead, and remember that God has chosen you, chosen to be with you. And today, in a little bit, we'll be celebrating Holy Communion. Again, God's presence among us in the bread and in the wine. But I also believe that God's presence is among us through each one of us. See, each one of us can make a difference in the lives around us. This week, at Jeff's celebration of life service and his visitation, I saw God living among us. His arms, his hands, his voice, giving hugs, giving words of comfort. And I've seen it at all of the funeral services, celebration of life services that I've been at. God is present there, bringing comfort and hope. God is present among us today, within us, to provide that comfort and support, to walk with each of us through our times of wilderness. God has promised to be with us. Let us cling to those promises when that might seem to be all we have. I challenge you this week, as you live out your life this week, try to see where God is present and working and active in your life. or where you are seeing God active in the lives around you. Through all time, God's presence has been with us. Sometimes we just have a hard time seeing it. So this week, look for God's presence and remember his promises of love and life and forgiveness. Amen.
congregation would please rise. Let's join together in confessing our faith according to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation.